John, the first epistle of John. If you don't know where that is, it's right out after Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, 1 John. It's right there near Revelations if you... It's right there near Revelations. That was a joke. So it's right after Revelation, right before Revelations, excuse me. John, 1 John chapter 1. It's an amazing book. If you study the after John's life, it's pretty amazing when you go to the gospel according to John and then you go to the epistles of John. Basically, they're the same. Basically, he's writing after to the same people, people that were in distress, people that needed to hear the good news, the corruption that came into the church, the apostle John, which he was an apostle because he saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. He was there after the resurrection. He was there before the resurrection, but he was there after the resurrection. He is considered an apostle. We know that this is John that wrote this book, from the history in which it's writing in there. But we also know by the context and how it's written that it was John. This is John and James. They were brothers. They were called to be disciples. If you remember correctly, when Jesus called these two disciples, they were fishermen. And God called them to be with him. Christ called them to be with him. If you have your Bibles in 1 John chapter 1, I would like to read the whole chapter to you. I will not preach the whole chapter, but I would like to read the whole chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Then this is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If you go back to verse number 3, I like to preach this message. We also may have fellowship. We also may have fellowship. John wrote this so that we may have fellowship. Sometimes a fellowship, the world perceives that a false view of fellowship. We think it's just because of food, and we think it's just because of this one thing or one thing else. Just because we are gathered together around the table, we think we have fellowship. And truly, our fellowship is not with the world. We'll see that later. We know that our fellowship is not with the world. But why do we have fellowship one with another? John is very specific in these passages of scriptures why we have fellowship one with another. Why do we have fellowship one with another? Have you ever thought about that? What does the word fellowship really mean? Maybe something common together? Coming together under one common idea? Why does Christians have this fellowship? John wrote this book that we may understand that we can have fellowship one with another. And truly our fellowship is with a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other fellowship other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we may gather around at a table, but if it's not because of Jesus Christ, we truly are not having fellowship. You know, fellowship is a very important thing for a Christian. God wanted us to come together as fellowship. See, in this time period of the life, there was a false view that was coming in, a supernatural view of the holy people. You got the select people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to put in false views of what Christ. See, Paul at this time was already dead. John was one of the last books written other than Revelations. So John was in that almost that third stage of Christianity. He was not with the first group of Christianity here. He was almost in the third stage of Christianity. So you've got to understand that the false views are going out about, if you read in verse 1, that which we have heard, or that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. John was declaring right there that this is even from the beginning. Christ was from the very beginning. If you go to 1 John chapter 1, it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the same was in the beginning with God. There's three passages in our Bible that says in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, what does it say? In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Then in John, in the book of John, the apostle according to John, the gospel according to John, chapter 1, it says in the beginning. Well, here in 1 John chapter 1, it says in the beginning. It's not something that's been founded from before the foundations of the world. Jesus Christ, there was no beginning to Christ. There was a false view in that day that there was a beginning, that Jesus was born in flesh. And then at the baptism of John, that's when Christ came and indwelled him, which was a false view. Because the Word became flesh. That was Jesus Christ. When he was born from the virgin, when Gabriel put the seed in woman and he was born of a virgin, that was the Christ. He was much God then as he was in heaven before that. That was his deity. He is Christ. There's a false view in the church today, in that day, that Jesus Christ wasn't truly God. In fact, John pounded it right on the head in the very first verse. It says, that which we heard from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. And the life was manifested that we seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And truly our fellowship, you'll see at the end of that verse, of chapter 3, or verse 3, it says Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ was even from the very beginning of the world. It says we've made man in our image. Even from Genesis, it says that Christ was even from the beginning. There was no start with Christ. There was no ending of Christ. Though he died on Calvary's cross, that wasn't the end because he's the conqueror. He defeated death, hell, and the grave for us. So we had a false view in the church that Jesus wasn't the Christ. And actually, if you read about the false doctrine, then they even said that Christ left him before he died on cross. I don't believe that. So John, in his wisdom and in trying to defeat this false view, he was trying to show the person of our fellowship. You see, without Jesus Christ, we truly do not have fellowship. That's my first point, the person of our fellowship. Without Jesus Christ, we have no fellowship at all. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing at all. And truly, honestly, we're still held deserving sinners. Even after we are born again. The person of our fellowship is the Lord Jesus Christ. It says he was manifested unto the disciples. You see in verse 2? And the life was manifested, and we have seen it. John is stating, that he was there with Christ. Christ revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in flesh, robe in flesh, to his disciples, which were later called the apostles because they saw the resurrection Lord Jesus Christ. He was manifested to his disciples. And from his manifestation to his disciples, when he declared himself, they in return, it says in that verse, it says, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. If you read in verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ was not only manifested to the disciples and to the apostles, he was also manifested unto us. By who? By the people that have seen Christ. He said, I have seen him. I've seen the piercing in his hands. I've seen his feet. I've seen the wound in his side. I actually handled him. I actually stuck my fingers inside. The Bible says he handled him. He touched Christ after he was died on Calvary's cross and he was resurrected the third day. See, without Christ, we have no fellowship at all. Christ is the beginning of our Christianity and he's the end mark of our Christianity. He's from the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And a lot of times in our Christian life, we lose sight of Jesus Christ. I was teaching the young boys this morning in a teens class that there is no neutral ground with God. Either you're going forward or you're going backwards. There is no neutral ground. If you see in Revelation chapter 3, God even says something so specific here. In Revelation chapter 3. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You see, there is no neutral ground with God. God said lukewarmness, he spits out. They were neither hot nor cold. They were in the middle. With God, there is no middle ground. We shouldn't be living in the middle ground. We have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ living, dwelling inside of us. We find in John, in the books of John chapter 14, 15, and 16, how he gave us a comforter, how Christ gave us another comforter that comes and dwells inside of us, which if you see later in those chapters, it says, I and my Father will dwell with you. I and my Father will come unto you. Meaning Jesus Christ and God himself comes into our lives. And when we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, which is God himself living in us. That is the only thing we can have fellowship here on this earth. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only fellowship that we can have. And if it's any other kind of fellowship, it's the wrong kind of fellowship. John wanted us to have fellowship like he had fellowship. You see what he says? For life was manifested that we have seen and bear witness and show unto you the eternal life. In verse 3 it says, that ye also may have fellowship with us. John's desire as writing this book, that we may have fellowship with him. That we may have fellowship with other believers. You know how we exhort one another? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 verse 25 that the gathering of ourselves together, why? Because we can exhort one another. We can lift each other up, but it's only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have lost sight of that in our world today. You know why many churches are dwindling? Because they have lost sight of Jesus Christ. You know why in my Christian life and in your Christian life, when we're not moving forward, we're moving backwards, is because we get our eyes off Christ. The only fellowship that we can have with God, himself said that in this verse, that John says, the only fellowship that you can have with God is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without him, you have no fellowship at all. Without him, you're dying and going to hell. There's no question about it. There is no other way. If there was a way, God would have made that way. But he knew only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that came and robed in flesh and had the bloodline of God in him because he was born. Only a sinless could take the sin upon this world to die for us. It was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought us into fellowship in the first place with God. See, in the Garden of Eden, it was disrupted. In the Garden of Eden, sin crept in. And if you remember correctly, you know, we like to take that chapter and a lot of husbands like, look, this woman did this. But God didn't go to the woman. God came to the man. You see, it was his sin because he was supposed to help his wife. He was supposed to, God gave him the commandment in the very first place. You see, that from that beginning, even from the beginning of the foundations of the world, Christ was known to die. Why? We say this word predestination. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about how predestination, and it says right before that, because of the foreknowledge. God predestinated all this to happen because of his foreknowledge. I don't believe in the predestination that other people say it is. But God predestined it from his foreknowledge. But it's also God's will that all men come to repentance. And we have no right to tell somebody if they're going to repent or not repent. So we have to give everybody the gospel. Because everybody can come to know Christ as a personal savior. Because that's God's will. And that ought we supposed to be doing here on this earth today. See, the only fellowship that we truly have is with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a second thing I see here. The place of our fellowship. Look in verse 5. Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's our place of our fellowship, is in the light of God. You know, this gives a description of God. It actually even gives a definition of who God is. He's light. When you hear all these false things saying about God, and God is this and God is that, and if it goes against who the person he is, it's absolutely wrong. See, Satan tries to come to deceive you that he is an angel of light, and really he is not. He's so good at that, even when he came to Christ, at the moment glance, you would think somebody would actually even heed to that. But Christ was the Word. He was made flesh. And he dwelt among us, so he knew the way. He was the Word of God. And he was able to come with that. So not only do we have our fellowship in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our place of our fellowship is in light. In God's light. We cannot claim to be Christians and walk in darkness. What does that mean here in this passage of Scripture? It actually shows our life and the way we live. You know, you can actually tell if somebody's truly born again by the way that they live. You know, we are so good at deceiving our own selves. I know I am so good at deceiving my own self. And there's times where I deceive myself. I talked last Sunday night on, I asked the teens a question. I asked the teens if they were godly or ungodly. And I came out of Psalms chapter 1. We saw what a godly person was. You know, we need to stop and ask ourselves, is our life in the light of God? Are we walking in the light of God? Are we living the Christian life that appears or shows forth Christ? We have this person, we have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ living and dwelling inside of us. And the Bible says, and John says that we are lights of the world and that we should shine forth the light. And John even claimed that he was not the light, but that he was to bear witness of the light. And when people see our lives, they should see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem is that we're so scarred from the world, that we have such the world upon us in our overwhelm and in our overwhelming aroma of our lives, that we give a false view of who Christ is. You see, the fellowship is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our place of our fellowship, it's in God's light. And God's light shines forth in this world, in this dark world. We're living in a very dark world. You know, in James chapter 1 verse 8, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you claim to be a Christian, but you're living your life not like a Christian, you might need to check yourself. Because your heart's probably not right. There's many times in my Christian life where I've given the false view of Christ. Why? Because I kept my eyes off Christ. I don't believe a person can lose their salvation. I do not believe that. I do not believe a person can lose their salvation. But the question is, were you truly born again? That's the question. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have fellowship with other believers and with God. You know why that is? You know, God says that he is light. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, does anybody know that verse? It's a small little verse. For God is a consuming fire. As a born-again believer in my Christian life, and if I say that I'm truly born again, and Christ indwells inside of me, there's nothing else but to show forth that light. Why? Because he consumes our life. I was telling the teen boys this morning, you know, before a person, I was talking about Saul, King Saul. You know, when he turned from the Samuel, the prophet, the Bible says he literally got a new heart. God gave him a new heart. Was that physically a heart? No. But spiritually, that was a new heart. What does that mean? His desires changed. his motives changed. There was a lady that back in the early 1900s, I was reading this week, a lady that loved the theater, loved to go watch the theater. And back then it was, actually musical drama theater. And this woman loved to go to the theater, but she loved to go to church too. She told the preacher one day, "I don't want to give up my old life to get saved." And he said, "Listen, when have I ever said you have to give up your whole life? When did I ever say that you have to forsake those things which are behind you to come to know Christ as your personal Savior?" She said, "Never." He said, "Because you don't have to." That weekend, she got saved that Sunday morning. Next Sunday, she come back to church. And she went up to the preacher and said, "I haven't been back to the theater." And he turns around and says, "Who told you you couldn't go?" And she said, "My desires have changed. My outlook at life had changed. The indwelling Holy Spirit of God does not like darkness." You know, you stick it, if we turn off our lights, and we're not going to turn off the lights, and we see my iPad, that's light. The light pushes out the darkness. If we say we are truly born again, Christians, and we're walking in darkness, the Bible says we lie. And it says, do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And truly our fellowship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his blood cleanses us from all our sins. So if I say I'm truly born again, and I'm living a life that's not showing forth that, I must check my own self. And time and time and time again in my Christian life, I've only been a Christian for 7 years. I've come to that place. If I lost sight of Christ, I'm not showing the light that God wants us to show. Listen, our fellowship is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the place of our fellowship is in his light. Let me ask you this question. Are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ today? Are you letting his light through your life shine? Are you having fellowship with God? Do you have fellowship amongst other believers? See, I think a lot of times our church is dwindling because we have a false view of Christ. Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. Because God is light. And if we're living a dark life, if we're living in sin and constantly dwelling in sin, we have to check our own hearts. Now, I believe in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we do have besetting sins in our life. That God in his time works on our hearts to take out. Why? So we can be formed to the image of Christ. So let me ask you this question. Do you believe you have fellowship with other Christians? Let me tell you why. It's because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot lose sight of that. That's the only thing that's keeping us today. And really, it's because believers in America right now, I believe God's withstayed his hand of judgment upon us because the remnant of believers now that are trying to live for God here. We see all the sin and the wickedness and the darkness that's happening, and it's coming into the churches. But we need Christians walking in God's light that the darkness can disappear. So let me ask you this question. Do you have fellowship with God? What about fellowship with other believers? Is your place walking in the light as he is in the light? Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you'll do your work through your people here today. Lord, we pray that you work in their hearts. Help them to